And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their minds. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get
the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Damn the rules.
Oh, hit it again.
Oh, oh, Big D, so you have been waiting for this one for a while. A little over a week.
Damn the rules.
That's his little goal. Damn the rules. Damn the rules. And we always say it wrong. We always say dims the rules.
Damn the rules.
The podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. And you can get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
Our guest on the podcast this week is Jeff Allen. He is a comedian, good dude, and we like him, so we invited him to be.
Well, we had him on the show. We had him on the show, and we're like, dude, you got to come back and hang out and do the podcast with us.
So. Absolutely. Man, and I shop at O'Reilly's, so that's even cooler.
Ah, yeah,
that's kind of nice. You guys got that O'Reilly? You heard it? Okay, good.
Well, it's better than years ago. I was on a radio station trashing Burger King, and it was their main sponsor. So I've learned my lesson. I go, okay, I'll just look at product, make sure. And I can honestly say I buy at O'Reilly's.
That's actually happened to us where we had a sponsor who was an auto dealer, and we were talking about the other product one time. Remember that?
Yep.
We were talking about the cars that were made in China. And we're like, oh, yeah, well, these cars are going to be made in China. And they got all mad at us because we exposed that they had a bunch of cars for this company that were going to be made in China. And they were like, oh, you can't talk about that. That's our bread and butter.
Right. Well, then don't make them in China if you don't want people to know.
That's right.
How about that?
This is America.
Jeff is a you may have seen him on Facebook where he's got the comedy where he's talking about things, how they used to be in America, and it's things have changed, and the new generation, and it just cracks me up. I pulled up some things that it's things that your kids won't believe that you grew up with, and one of them really stuck out to me. It's quite a long list. Was sea monkeys tricked us all?
Sea monkeys were real, dude.
Sea monkeys were not real.
They were shrimp. They were alive.
Brine shrimp.
They were something.
Yeah.
That's right. When they just talked about lowering the voting age to 16, I'm thinking, when I was 16, I used to have arguments with friends of mine that were also 16 about whether or not wrestling and roller derby were real.
You're right.
So I don't think we should have access to the voting booth.
No. I was lighting farts on fire.
Right, exactly.
At 16. Well,
at 16. I did that for my sons when we were in a hotel room in Louisiana. I was doing a casino down there, and they were with me, and I taught them how to light those. And my wife was so irritated with me.
You know what we do now?
My kid laughed so hard he threw up. You can't have moments like those. Are only moments between fathers and sons.
Do you have two boys? Have you ever done that? Have you ever showed them how to? Yeah.
No,
my one son kept going. It's blue. It's blue.
That means it's a hotter burning flame.
That's right.
That's it.
It's burning nice and clean. Yeah. And I will say this because we do this now. Some people, I'm not going to say we. Some people at the fire station have been witnessed using the thermal imaging camera. It's amazing.
Oh,
instead of lighting them, you just look at them through the camera. You wouldn't believe how much a little like that
absolutely
fills up a space. You can actually see this cloud of gases coming.
That's why they want to get rid of cows, baby. They're destroying the planet.
It's amazing. Like, seriously, Big D, like, it's the size of our Christmas tree over here. One little tiny fart looks like that tree.
Like upside down, like it's upside down
goes,
tree.
And it's like, it's amazing. Like, you ever see those pictures of sneezes?
That's a sign that firemen have a lot of spare time.
Hey, look,
they're very busy.
In between calls,
I feel a
you
big
don't
one coming on, guys. Get the camera. Ready? Here we go.
Kind of hard to do a fundraiser for your volunteer fire department when that's out. You know, now we need more money for more thermal imaging cameras.
Hey, can you guys sign this guitar?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The guitar right there, that one's for the fire department.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. No, but you know,
you mean
it,
the
it's,
one that that's tracking you know, flatulence.
There is downtime, just like with anything. Exactly. I mean, like EMS, the joke is earn money sleeping because they're just waiting for the next person to need an emergency. And
you go from zero to 100, you know.
You do. In like, and then you're back to zero again. Right. It's crazy. So, yes, thermal imaging camera with the tooting is pretty great.
Molly, gosh, I'm going through all these old things.
We went from sea monkeys to lighting farts on fire.
But you know what?
Talking about all this, the station wagons that we used to have.
Oh my gosh!
Growing up, you know,
with no suspension.
No, they're rough, man.
Yeah, you talk about riding on the ocean.
And those flip up seats in the back.
Yeah, with the exhaust blowing right into your face.
Yes.
My little brother, we had talked on the show the other day about how we had the. My parents put like it wasn't a mattress, but it was like a cushion of some sort on the floor
like
so that
foam?
It would make it foam. That's what I'm looking for. To make it even with the back seat so there was no dip down and we could just lay back there. And my little brother texted me, says, that, and remember, we used to take turns sleeping up on the back dash.
Right.
On the deck. Yeah, the back deck.
Like cats in a sunspot.
Yeah. Because it would just because it was warm up there and it was kind of cool and we were little we could fit up there and God help you if they slammed the brakes you went running flying forward but nobody cared.
Well, my parents used to sneak us into the drive-in in the well in the back, cover us up so we'd breathe exhaust for 30 minutes.
Shut up, you know,
get up. And it was, I think they did it because we'd fall asleep a lot sooner.
Yeah.
You know, the nauseousness and the headache from all the exhaust.
Yeah. Johnny,
you know.
He won't wake up.
Yeah, and if that didn't kill you, the secondhand smoke from the Lucky Strikes, you know, with the windows rolled up. That's why I tell my kids, I go, my father used to smoke with all four of us in the car with the windows rolled up in the middle of winter and just one after another chain smoke, light one with the other. And,
my dad was the same way with the cigars.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's even, well, yeah, and your clothes smell like that. I had a friend whose father smoked cigars, and you could he'd arrive 5 minutes before his body arrived. You know, the cheap El Producto. Remember those cigars? My friend used to smoke those blueberry Tipperillos, and he wasn't a smoker. Every time he got drunk, he'd go to the vending machine and get these blueberry Tipperillos, and every morning he'd wake up and he'd go, you ever see me buy one of those again? Smack me, tackle me, hold me down. And the next night, he'd come up and he'd blow it right in my face. You know, yeah.
I was, you know, the station wagons, and then it moved from that into the big full, what do they call them? Those they're vans, but they're called, they had a name, a conversion van.
Conversion, oh, right.
Yeah, the big
where people would put like the little kitchenettes and everything in them?
No, it would just had, like it had a TV. That was the big thing. Is they had the big captain chairs in there and they're
right.
All, and that kind of that velvety fabric.
Oh, you're talking like those nasty rape vans from the 70s, 80s.
No, these are more of a thing. It was a specific era where the van was like somewhere between a van and an RV. Like it was like this
That weird, that big thing on the top.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were I remember my buddy had one and I was just like, "Oh my gosh."
I thought you were talking about the ones with the murals on the side.
Yeah,
see, I thought about that as if I ever got out on tour rather than a tour bus, I wouldn't need one cuz it's just me. And I thought, I told my wife it'd be great, one of those little conversion vans. She goes, "Jeff, they don't make those anymore." I go, "Really?" I said, "When did they stop?" She goes, "Well, when gas hit about $2 a gallon, because they got about 7 miles to the gallon."
You could just get one of those work vans, and then you can kit it out whatever way you want. And you can get them in four-wheel drive also. So if you want to go off-roading with your conversion van, you'll be able to do that too.
Because that's what people want to do. Right. People want to go off-roading
with their $50,000 van.
I want one like those Quigley 4x4s. Google them. They're great. Or Bing them.
Right? I found a conversion van. I found one from 2002, actually. This is more of a cargo van.
But it's still got that look.
It's still got the same kind of look.
High roof, the whole thing. But when you talk about the captain's chairs, I remember that. A buddy of mine's dad had one of those that looked like the inside was all upholstered.
I remember it's carpet. It was carpet.
It was carpet. It was dark. I mean, it was kind of dark in there. Yeah. And they had a TV that had like just an antenna that it didn't get anything.
It didn't get anything because you're always moving.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't until over-the-air TV – you've always been able to do it, but not until the last 5 years it's been HD quality. Right. When they FCC made them all, everyone changed to
the digital
over the air signal.
I just remember I'm young enough
air quotes, I'm almost 40, but, you know, I remember we had video games at home. We didn't have Game Boys or any of that stuff when I was a little kid, but I remember being 7, 8 years old, stuck in the back of a car, just thinking, I wish we could just, you know, it would be so much better if we could just watch TV or play video games or something while we're in the back of the car. And now, like, you don't even need it in the car. You just do it on your phone.
Yeah.
I do it on an
airplane. Tired driving along thinking about the emptiness of your life, you know, as a child. Man, is this it? The next 30 years of my life, I'm offing myself.
You know what the crazy?
Looking at your parents going, is that really going
to
be me?
Oh, or listening to them just talk for hours.
I know.
And you're listening to them, like, what else has been said? They've been together for years, but you're hearing your mom gossip about someone. And you know your dad doesn't care, but it's an 8-hour ride to your grandparents' house. Whoa. And the 8-track just keeps repeating the same Rolling Stones album over and over.
We were the same. We were more entertaining. We always fought on long trips. We pull the car over and have a big fight on the side. Tammy once threw a Whopper at my head, you know. Well, and the kids just sat in the car eating, you know, like this is normal. You know, they just sit in the back seat eating their burger. My wife got PO'd at me and swips it at my face. And what the hell? And we're out the side of the road. My kid's just sitting there eating, you know, completely dysfunctional family. We really were.
I just realized that Jeff's voice sounds like the narrator from The Christmas Story.
Oh.
Yeah, a little bit.
It does, man.
Can you say it wasn't fudge?
It wasn't fudge.
Yeah, it's got the thing, man.
Do you do any voiceover stuff? You should.
No, it's funny. You're about the fifth person. I've done some auditions for it, but it you know, I do it in my house, and it sounds echoey and crummy.
Oh.
I need to come to a studio like this.
Well,
if you knew someone with a studio.
I know people who have a studio, so if you ever need to do that, you just let me know.
By the way, I want to go back to the conversion van thing, because I used to see, remember the Columbia Record Club? I think I just got out from underneath my contract. And I used to say to my wife, I go, I think their address is an old van that just keeps moving, you know, so you can't find them. It just, they just drive from one town to the next. You know.
I never, you know, I remember getting those or seeing I never did it. I never really understood how did it work?
How did it make money?
Well, you got a penny and you got to pick whatever, and then you were just locked in for life because you couldn't cancel.
Yeah, it was like five albums.
And do you remember
for a penny.
It was stamps?
Yes,
that it was the albums were stamps, mm-hmm. And so you had to lick them and put them on. Yeah, it was a cool thing when you were a kid. You're like, I'm gonna play, and then your mom's like, you're not signing up for this.
Right,
I don't care that you have a penny, and they take it away.
I think I did two of them because there was Columbia and somebody else did it.
Yeah, there was BMG.
I think I had both of them.
We were in that one. My dad was in that one for a long time.
So do you pay like a fee to get in it, and then it's just one?
Yeah, they just send you whatever the album of the du jour is, unless you pick it out. But then you try to, you try to cancel, and you can't. It's like today, I'm dealing with Hootsuite. I've been paying Hootsuite $20 a month for 3 years. I cannot cancel the darn thing. I can't find a thing. I went online. I've done everything they said to cancel, and they keep billing my Amex card. I've called Amex and told them, if you're from Hootsuite listening to this, cancel me. I want out. I don't want your product anymore.
I didn't
anymore.
Even know Hootsuite cost money.
Well, of course. I signed up for the pro version because, you know, that means I'll be a better.
You're a pro.
I'll be better on the Twitter machine, you know, if I have the pro version.
What is Hootsuite? Is that the where you can?
It's a platform for all of the.
And it helps you schedule things. Like you can basically say, okay, tomorrow, like Jeff's a touring comic. He can go, here's all my dates for the next year. He can go and schedule tweets or Facebook posts
send it out
for a whole
you.
Year and say, okay, this way I'm not
really?
Skipping. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that. I'll call my guy. Hey,
you
look.
Got a Twitter guy?
I got a social guy. He's 28. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, you might want to call him after
He
this.
Always talk, when we're talking on the phone, he goes, do you have the deer in the headlights? I go, I have the deer in the headlights. He's trying to explain something to me. I said, maybe we should do more video chat so you can see how confused I am.
Every time I can't get a picture to look right, I find Amber, who works here, because she's 27. I'm like, I need someone under 30 who knows how to make this picture look better.
See, my wife
just run it through your Visco.
I don't even know what that is.
What?
See, my wife doesn't know how to use iPhone 10, which I have. She has an 8. So every picture that we take has to be on her phone so she can edit it and make it look better.
Well, you can take it on yours and then airdrop it to her. That way she can edit it.
All right, man. Deer in the headlights. Deer in the headlights. All right, baby. No, we did airdrop the other day. You guys did that. I was blown away. Like, you guys were the devil.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's dark.
I'll tell you how far we've come with technology. Years and years and years ago, I was working at a jewelry company, and they sold the company, and the previous owner did not get along with the new owner. And he knew it. Guy owned the company for 40 years. So when he signed the contract, there was a clause in there that said, I'm allowed to be on the premises, because he knew the guy would not put him on the premises. He was 78 years old or 80 or something, really out of it. So they put a change machine in the lunchroom. This guy would stand there all day putting dollar bills in, fascinated that quarters would come out. And I worry that I'm going to get there. You know? I'll just figure DOS out, you know, and, or something. You know?
Right. Where's
Look,
Jeff?
Everybody, I've got DOS figured out.
I remember, speaking of change, we'd go to the arcade. Do you guys remember going to the arcade in the mall?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah,
mine was games. Aladdin's Castle.
Oh,
Aladdin's
ours was.
Aladdin's Castle, yeah.
That's
yeah,
where
yeah,
I took my conversion van to the mall. and hung out at the arcade.
Carson, what was your, arcade called?
I didn't go to an arcade.
No.
What?
Chicks, man.
Yeah, well, I think because every kid in the neighborhood had an NES.
Yeah, we had an NES. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
You still went to
That's
the arcade.
Right. You're young.
Yeah, the arcade is where you go to play the new
games.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
The good graphics.
Basically, if you went to Pizza Hut, you wanted the Space Invaders table. That was our closest thing to an arcade.
Oh, I hated the tables.
I didn't like the
sit-down games where you're head-to-head.
Oh, no. Yeah, those that was it. That's terrible. My only arcade experience.
I once spent an entire paycheck on the road. I was working a club in Detroit trying to win a Space Invaders T-shirt that said I scored 75,000 on Space Invaders, and I never got there.
A whole paycheck.
Just about.
And
hundreds.
You never even got the shirt.
Hundreds. And I told the guy, can I buy this stinking shirt? He goes, no, you got to earn it. I go, God, I hate this place. And a friend of mine hopped the counter and ripped off two pizzas one day.
Nice.
He just saw the guy was in the back, and he goes, let's go, man. He hops the counter, he grabs two pies, and we run out the door. I go, I'm going to jail for three pieces of cheese. I can't go.
Iris is called Pirate's Cove, by the way.
Oh, very good. Yeah. But you remember, okay. Were you good at Pac-Man? We're all pretty good.
Okay,
I still play Dig Dug on my PlayStation.
Dig Dug. I remember
Dig
that.
Dug's on PS4 as a download, so
really?
That's great.
I wasn't good at Pac-Man. Like, I was as good as anybody at Pac-Man. I can get to, like, the fifth, sixth level, you know, no problem. I went to a millennial bar with Amber and a couple of her friends. It was somebody's birthday, and I had nothing to do. This is before I met Vivica, so I'm like, I'm going to go to – it's one of these hipstery – it was in a warehouse.
Yeah.
It was real – it had books on the shelf instead of – you know, there were like books and then liquor and then books. I'm like, nobody's reading these books. This is so stupid. And everybody's standing around. I'm the oldest person there at the time. I was like 36, and I'm by far the oldest person in this bar. And so they had one of the sit-down Miss Pac-Man tables.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was like, I don't like to sit there. It's kind of just a cool hipstery thing. They have an old Pac-Man game. And I sit down and I'm playing. And some kid sits across from me and goes, $5 says I can beat you. And I'm like, looking at him. He's like 22. I'm like, there's no way. Yeah, no, smoked him. Are you kidding me? I scored like 40,000 points. The kid had 5. Like, just
really?
To give it perspective. Yeah, no idea. So then I start, he goes, I'll take any challengers, anybody who wants to play. So I start betting millennials they can't beat me in Miss Pac-Man. And I want.
And you know what they were all saying? Who's the old dude?
Who's the old dude?
Who's the old guy
the old
over
dude?
There?
And yeah, and the next thing I know, there's a line of people who want to play against me in Miss Pac-Man because I'm so good. And I'm like, I'm mediocre at best.
There's a target
but
on
they
your
don't
back.
Know. Seriously, I'm not even kidding. The fifth or sixth kid who sits down goes, oh, well, why is there a stick? I'm like, oh, man, you're why
just
are you
give me
here?
Your money.
Just give me.
Just give me your money, kid. This isn't going to work for you.
To quote Bill Murray from Caddyshack, I got that going for me.
Those kids are leaving there tweeting out, just got beat by Jerry Garcia.
Came back from the dead, beat me at Miss Pac-Man. That was bad.
So I want to talk about something. I know it's kind of a weird thing, but you – everybody always talks about the phrase, I've heard it a billion times, happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
That's your phrase.
Yeah, I copyrighted it for 10 years, and then somebody from some television network, they claimed it as theirs, and we hired a patent lawyer, a copyright lawyer, whatever, here in Nashville, and sued them. And after you know, a couple of months of litigation. They settled me. They gave me a check for $25,000, and my legal fees were $28,000. So,
wow.
I told my wife, "Let's drop it. I'm not going to bother with it anymore."
You know? Wow.
And all I wanted was a licensing deal for it. Yeah, it was about early '90s, I guess. Somebody in Australia said that my wife was sending out cease and desist letters as if she was an attorney. She would just sit on the internet, and anybody who had a little mom and pop shop that was selling Happy Wife, Happy Life stuff, she'd send them a letter. I'm a representative of Jeff Allen and Zingara Incorporated, and you are in violation of copyright, whatever. Somebody, you know, so some lady from Australia sent me an email personally. She said, "Jeff Allen, you are a mean man." And my grandmother was saying that back in 1950. I said, "Well, she should have copyrighted it. That's all I'm saying."
Yeah,
but I never heard it.
It's your thing.
Yeah, so. It's pretty ubiquitous now. And it's funny. I can't even do it in my show anymore because people don't think that it's mine. You know, I had a special television.
How does that
special.
Feel to have something so great and then lose hold of it? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, you can't do it in your show.
Well, not get credit for it.
You know? Yeah, that's what I mean. You know? Because nobody would believe you that it's
one
you.
One of my favorite quotes is, "An unexamined life is not worth living." And I always, it's Aristotle. So I always say, well, Aristotle said, "An unexamined life is not worth living." So I give Aristotle credit. A good friend of mine who does corporate speaking said to me, one time I said something, he goes, "Wow, that's great. Can I use that?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, "Okay, here's how it works. The first time I use it, I mean, as my good friend Jeff Allen says. The next time I say it, my good friend said. And then after that, as I always said." Because that's the hierarchy of the way it works.
Right.
You know? So I said, "All right, I get it." So.
What was it? John Rich got Redneck Riviera. He got it.
Because he argued with the trademark attorney. Every time they sent him a reason he couldn't have it, he came up with a reason it didn't work.
Well, his thing was, wasn't it like it was just everybody called the Gulf Coast, Florida, yeah. Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, the Redneck Riviera, or whatever.
They've called it. I mean, I've heard that phrase since I was a kid.
Oh, really?
You know, so Alabama and Florida, like the Gulf Coast of Florida and Alabama, Mississippi, that's the Redneck Riviera. And because you can't afford to go to the actual French Riviera, so you go to the Redneck Riviera. And nobody, and he said he was there, and there were people with T-shirts and cups on it that said Redneck Riviera, and he goes, "I wonder who has that trademarked." Oh, wow. So he went and researched it. Nobody. So his attorney came back to him, and by the way, selfless plug, John will tell this whole story in my podcast, episode 10. Five Whiskey Patrick, episode 10, if you want to hear it. But he said, his attorney said, "Well, I got the answer. They rejected us. Turns out you can't trademark the name of a place,
like a region,
you know, of a geographical location is what the government calls it." And so he went back and said, "Well, that's not, where is it?" The trademark attorney literally copied and pasted the Wikipedia article for Redneck Riviera that said it describes a region between, you know, from Mississippi to the Gulf Coast of Florida. And John said, "Well, no." And they sent examples of people calling Galveston the Redneck Riviera, people calling Myrtle Beach the Redneck Riviera, people calling parts of Long Island on the beach Redneck Riviera. So there's no specific place. He says it's just a state of mind. It's a place you go when you can't afford to go somewhere better. And they went, "All right, fine." And after he
so
went back and forth several times,
they gave him the trademark.
They gave him the trademark because everyone who had tried before just quit when they got the rejection.
And he does. I mean, he has a product line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Restaurants, bars.
Wow.
Does he go after people who use it? Or do you know?
I'm sure he has people who do.
I don't know so much that he's bothering to do that. It's just as much as nobody else can do it to him.
I also think if somebody, like you were talking about Long Island and all that kind of stuff, if somebody's promoting their Redneck Riviera, it's getting his brand out there.
Right.
In a way, it helps.
Okay, so we just trademarked this 17 that's on Bubba's hat, and we got rejected because you can't trademark a number. And by the way, a trademark for a stylized 17 is already taken by Roush Fenway Racing for one of their NASCAR cars. So I had to go back and forth with the lawyer several times. And finally, they got so frustrated with me making up words Because eventually I just said that that's not a 17. It's a series of two parallel lines intersected by two non-parallel lines representing the number of people who listen to our show every day. And the guy was like, you know what? I'm going to give you the style I sent to you. The trademark attorney was so irritated with me that he just gave up and gave it to us. But I'm not going to sue
kids.
Anybody.
Never quit.
Never give up. That's
I don't plan to sue anybody because they have something that looks similar to that. The reason we have it is so that nobody sues us and says that that's their trademark.
Can you imagine that guy going home? Honey, how was your day? Oh, this guy.
I'll tell you, though, man, there's something to it. My wife, I remember when Dish, we were with Dish for almost 20 years.
They're and, a huge sponsor of the show. But
okay. Oh, they are?
No.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I forgot. I lost my place. You know, and they were giving away free, the really cool DVRs at that point, the best ones on the market, free to new customers. So my wife calls them and says, what do I get? At that time, we had been with them for 10 years, loyal. And they said, well, it's only for new customers. She was on the phone for six stinking hours, finally wound up with someone in Colorado. It was funny. I heard her on the phone with one guy. She said, first one was from India, right? So she says, where are you at? He goes, Denver. She goes, is that Denver, Minnesota? You know, trying to catch him in a lie.
Right. Yeah.
And anyway, she ends up with some corporate person. I guess they finally just said, this woman ain't going away, man. She is not
going away.
She pulled
AT&T Patrick then.
Mm-hmm. And, that's Patrick's thing. We ended up getting two DVRs in the mail for free.
Good for you. Yeah,
for her. I would have never done it.
Good for you.
What are they, $99? You know, we'll buy
one. Just buy one.
$200. Right. This is worth 6 hours of my time.
The rumors were true. Taylor Swift making an appearance right now in Nashville.
Is there a live stream?
Of course. Snap. People are on Twitter losing their minds.
Plug that in. Can we plug that in?
I just got a thing from one of our – yeah, here's a live stream.
Here, just plug the cord
in. One of our business manager's office is near this location.
There's some mural on a wall.
And she said half the office just left because Taylor Swift is literally standing there taking pictures. Like, so –
oh, wow.
The artist who painted this butterfly mural on the wall says she doesn't know why she was painting it. She was contracted, and she was told it was for the NFL draft, and she doesn't know what it means. And then Taylor Swift showed
up. Except Taylor's big announcement tomorrow.
Yeah.
Taylor has been teasing butterflies.
Butterflies.
The entire time. So it isn't that big of a leap.
Let me see it, Patty.
Taylor.
Yeah. It's just... oh my God, Taylor!
Oh yeah,
she's literally standing there taking pictures in front of this mural, and people are just losing their minds.
Is she taking pictures with people?
I've heard she was talking to people in the crowd, but I don't know.
I'm not watching anyone, the mayhem.
Is there anyone on this planet that you guys would go and do that for?
No.
What, wait in line to take a picture with?
Yeah, just go and wait.
Go and stop in the middle of your day because
them,
you heard they were going
to
be somewhere.
They might be there.
Carson, well, it's even
would,
beyond
are you sure?
That.
Look at me,
I've
all
done it like eight times.
Carson would do it for Garth in a heartbeat.
I've done it for wrestlers.
Oh,
I mean,
oh my God!
I took a half day at work because Triple H was in town.
Oh, my Lord.
See, the question I always ask myself, would I go out of my way? If I was walking east and I needed to walk west to go see somebody, that's the big one. Would I even walk across the street? And 99% of the people, nah.
No, either.
I'm trying to think. Tiger Woods I would love to meet, but I'd love to sit, play golf with him.
Yeah. You're not going to go out of your way to look at him.
No, I'm not going to get in a car.
If I was walking down the street and I saw Taylor Swift walking on the other side of the street, I would go, oh, cool, Taylor Swift. I wouldn't cross the street. You know, granted, I've sat in this room with Taylor Swift, you know. What?
I dodged traffic to get behind Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, my gosh. Just,
really?
I did. I mean, he was going to a bar, and I was across the street, and I was like, that car looks far enough
away.
Was that
in his 24 days?
No, it was like last year.
It was Tuesday.
He was out there telling people, hey, Steve. I'm Kiefer Sutherland.
And they're like,
hey,
who?
Hey. Designated survivor?
Hey,
hello?
I like Kiefer Sutherland, actually.
Yeah,
I don't know. What there's something about your personality.
She's in the crowd taking pictures with fans.
There
so,
we go, Tay.
Taking, God bless you, Tay. Do it. Use the moment.
Tear it up. She's pulling a Garth. Look, she is the best since Garth Brooks at doing the whole fan pleasing, making people feel special. You name it. So
we said
hats
that
off
when she
to
was
Taylor.
15 years old. We were like, that girl's.
We got.
Some
we
kind
went and
thing.
Saw Garth. We missed him the first time around. And we went and just saw them. And there were five drunken women behind us singing so loud I couldn't hear a word Garth was saying.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about
Damn,
that.
Damn, Carson.
Was that you? Yeah, all I know is I said to Tammy, I go, they're pretty drunk. I hope the puke bucket's nearby, man, because I don't want it all over me, you know.
No, and, that is awful, though. I hate it when people do that.
Yeah.
Like, I've sat by people, and I'm like, I don't need to hear you sing the whole show.
And the cool thing was when I took Tammy, my wife loved Justin Timberlake. So we went down to Atlanta to see him. And you can't sing along with him. So there wasn't, I mean, I said to her, I go, if I can recognize five words that he said the entire concert, I have no clue.
Jeff, I'm going to play a game. How many Garth Brooks concerts do you think Carson has been to? You get three guesses.
10.
Okay, nope. Again, try again.
15.
No, try again.
30.
I think like 33.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll hit 34 next month. So, yeah.
Wow.
He's not even in the top 10 of as many shows as I've gone to.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've seen Def Leppard
I
over
saw
50
Uriah
times,
Heep in 1975, and I saw Garth Brooks last year. So that's my concert.
That's your two concerts?
Wow.
Yeah. No, you saw Taylor Swift. You told me.
Oh, I did. That's right. I forgot. Tay Tay. We went and saw. Gosh. But that was for my niece.
You said
12.
It was loud with the girl screaming. I've seen Taylor more times than I'd like to admit in concert, 7 or 8. And it was loud. That's not the worst. The worst was Avril Lavigne because it was all 13-year-old girls.
I can top you.
NSYNC was the worst. But for the loud. But the thing with Avril Lavigne that blew my mind was, there was an amphitheater out in Nashville called Starwood. I had been there the weekend before to see Tim McGraw. It was sold out. 18,000 people all the way up the hill. There was no space. And 18,000 adults was not a fourth as loud as Avril Lavigne. It wasn't sold out. There's only about 9,000 people, but it was all little girls.
Yeah,
9,000 little girls.
I went and saw New Kids on the Block when they first did their first reunion tour when they came back. And so Stacy and I went to the show in Chicago. And let me tell you, that is the loudest show I've ever been to.
You're saying 30-something-year-old women are louder than
As somebody who was at the show in New Orleans, yes, we were.
Oh, I was going to say, Timberlake was all 30 to 40-year-old, and they were very loud.
It was the loudest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Like, I wear headphones for a living with music blaring in my ears so loud, and I fly planes and shoot guns and you name it. My ears have never hurt more than they did at that New Kids on the Block concert.
I went to see NSYNC in the heyday, and I feel like it was that loud. And I had earplugs in, but I remember Bubba turned during that New Kids concert and took a picture of the crowd when they like shine the lights out. And who's out there? And everybody cheered. And it was like, where's Waldo? He sent it to me, and he had said, find a dude. And you scan the audience, you couldn't find any guys
there. They took all the men's rooms except one in the arena and made them women. And they just put signs up and said, like, women can go in here. Because I don't know that there were even 10 men in the arena there.
April?
Oh, for New Kids. Or for when New Kids.
New Kids.
Well, when I went to go see Hillary Duff, and she did.
That's funny right there.
Wow.
Hey, man. Wow. I love Hillary Duff.
Name one Hillary Duff song.
I couldn't tell you. I didn't even know she sang. I thought she was an actress.
I did too.
Hillary Duff did a tour, and I absolutely went because I knew Metamorphosis by heart. I still love that CD. And because the thing with Hillary Duff is because, like you said, she was an actress. She's doing Lizzie McGuire. It's Disney Channel. So actually the bulk of the audience, it's not even that you had like teenage, like New Kids or NSYNC girls. You had 5-year-olds.
Oh, my God.
And that is the highest pitch squeal you will ever hear.
The cheetah girls.
Aren't they a little quieter?
No. No. Same thing. Like, when you talk about the loudest noise, it was I was stunned into silence by how piercing this was.
Can I say how stoked I am? And I will admit it. I am extremely excited about Disney Plus bringing Lizzie McGuire back.
Lizzie,
they're putting all the Lizzie McGuire shows.
What that means. What
Lizzie McGuire is going to be on Disney Plus, which is like
kids?
They're. It's about me, dude. I used to watch Lizzie McGuire with my girls when they were kids. And
okay.
It was great.
The stumble was the best. How do you get?
I'm sorry. <right? laughs>
I will say one of the more awkward moments of my life was me buying a single ticket to the Lizzie McGuire movie. Opening weekend, because I was like 20.
Wow.
Oh, and so I'm like, but I just wanted to see what happened with her and Gordo in Italy. Yeah. And it was adorable, and I sang the whole time.
Oh, man.
Yep.
And it's funny because if you think about it, that I think is the genesis of Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
Because they ripped off Hannah Montana. The whole idea behind it was basically the premise of the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Jeff, where are you going?
I'll tell you what, though. I was in the car the other day with my five-year-old granddaughter, and I went on Spotify and put on some compilation of all the Disney stuff, and she sat in the back seat at 5 years old and sang. She knew every song. Knew every last
even
one.
The older ones?
Yeah, even Lion King she got lost on, but I heard they're remaking that one and not necessarily cartoon, but
yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, it's CGI or whatever.
But it was interesting. You know, it was funny. Speaking of CGI, my wife's favorite movie, especially this time of year, is the Ten Commandments, the Cecil B. DeMille one.
Yeah,
and I've been mocking her for 30 years. I mean, where's your Messiah now? I mean, it's such badly acted, terrible movie, and I just think of Edward G. as Dathan going, "Where's your Messiah now?"
Shame.
And anyway, I was reading while we were watching. It took us 3 days to get through it, 4 hours and 45 minutes, and that's fast forwarding through the commercials. And Cecil B. DeMille, Ann Baxter, one of the lead actresses, had gone into audition for the part. And the acting in it is so over the top. You know, I go to class every week, and my wife says, you need to go into acting class, acting like, you know, that with your shoulders on your chest out, and where's your Messiah now, boy? You know? So anyway, that's what he wanted. He wanted this over-the-top bad acting. And,
why?
And after I read that, I thought, cool, now I get it.
Now it's like a whole thing. They were shooting for that.
That's it. That's what he wanted.
Why?
I don't know. I don't have no clue. Like, first of all, he was a silent film director. The first time he did that was in silent film. So I don't know. I don't know why it was, but it was. As you look at it and you go, it's so cheesy. I mean, and you get the the graphics and things, the
visuals,
the visual effects, you get that because the technology wasn't there, but the acting was just so.
Well, you
bad.
Listen to the
and then Heston comes down from Mount Sinai with literally evangelical hair. I mean, his hair poofed out, hair that every evangelical preacher would be proud of. And I said to Tammy, I wonder if that was the genesis of when they started wearing their hair that way.
They started doing it because Moses did.
Because Moses came down from Mount Sinai.
Good enough for Moses.
Pastor say one day, there's a reason why there's no descriptions of Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in the Bible, because if they said Paul had a bald spot, guys have been shaving the back of their head for centuries to look like Paul. So.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you're right. I'm looking at Charlton Heston's Moses hair.
Yeah.
And I want Patrick to sit there.
Oh,
just
wait, is it me?
Dude, it's you.
It's
oh,
you.
Yeah.
That's right.
There we go.
There's the Moses hair, and there's Patrick.
And well, the beard kept growing.
I'm not going to take any more flack. I'm just going to point out that
Moses.
This is my biblical hair.
Patrick. Moses.
Yeah.
Where's your Messiah now?
Where's your Messiah now?
Speaking of Patrick, I got a thing in my show. I talk about men waxing the hair off their body. You know, today's men. Because my father told me that I should have hair on my chest. And my wife says to me one day, I want you to look into the waxing, thing, because I got a pretty hairy chest. And I said, so I looked into it, came home and told her, get used to the pelt. It's not going anywhere. And I started thinking about it. I go, they pour hot wax and rip your hair out by the root. And we pay billions as a culture for that. But we can't get our government to pour water on the faces of enemy combatants.
Yeah.
Because that's torture.
Yeah. So I was thinking, you can do that all day.
Yeah. The CIA needs to open up a series of spas around the world, Hey, Ahmed, before we send you back to the battlefield as part of our new catch and release program, we're going to clean you up.
Yeah.
United States government's taking you to the mall, baby.
Dude, don't kid yourself.
You get your eyebrows threaded.
If you don't think that they're still doing that, you're kidding yourself.
Oh, right.
Still doing what?
The waterboarding.
Torture.
Yeah, we've been doing. We continue to do all that.
Yeah, it's like oops.
Whatever it takes.
Oops. Oops.
Yeah. How about splash, splash. So when you are touring on doing the comedy shows and stuff around the country, do you find that people are really receptive and open to the whole America used to be this way, and that kind of a you know, vibe. Everyone's really, they're digging it, aren't they?
Well, I think the millennials are digging it too, because they, I found out they're buying albums, they're buying LPs, you know. I think, like with the Pac-Man thing, you know, I think that they're kind of.
I think a lot of it's people.
It's funny because
that
it's 1980s, is their nostalgia. Ours was the 50s and 60s, so it almost
yours was the 50s.
Okay, well, mine was. Yes, I'm an old man.
Yes,
yes, my pelt is gray.
Well, at least you have a pelt. I don't even have a pelt.
Pelt.
I looked the other day. I was like, oh my gosh, my 18-year-old son has more hair in his chest than I do.
You didn't eat sardines in a can, man. That's what my father told me.
Do your boys have eyebrows?
Gunner, Zach does. Gunner does kinda, not really.
Not like you don't have. Not, any.
I'm gonna have to look a little closer next time.
Yeah, he's not.
My wife had that tattooing done. She went through
the blading thing.
Yeah, she went through chemo at 38, and that kind of knocked all the hair off her eyebrows. And anyway, she went in and got that. Yeah, that whatever it was, it looks amazing. I didn't realize they weren't real hair.
Yeah.
I look at it and I go, my God, babe, those are beautiful.
How would they do that, Carson?
I want to get like Groucho Marx. I want that tattooing with that 4-inch thing that he used to have. You know, I want those big hairy Eugene Levy eyebrows. They look like caterpillars. You know, I want bushy ones, man.
How do they do that, Carson? Isn't it where it's like it's actually cutting into the...
Yeah, I mean, it is a tattoo process.
It is a tattoo.
It is. Yeah, because you have to cut the skin and put ink in it in order for the ink to stay there.
And they make it look like blades of
hair.
Yeah,
and it's super thin and very fine. And it is. It's remarkable how
it
great
is. I was blown away. I said, that's not real hair. She goes, no. I said, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine who has very arched eyebrows. I was like, where do you get them done? And she gave me the name of her microblade person.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's like, just so you know, she's kind of, it's Stephanie from Joey's. And so she's like, it's kind of expensive. It's like $1,000. I'm like, for eyebrows? I'm like, no, man.
My wife paid $1,000. She said, liar.
What did she do?
It's $22.
Oh. She's like, I just had to trade in our old DVR. And they did it for free.
Both of them.
I told you it was
coming in. No wonder we're in direct now. Given her negotiation skills, she might have gotten it for $22.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I love all that stuff. Looking back on, you know, things of where they used to be, going out and playing till the lights came on, and that's when you knew when you came, you had to come home. And we used to take our bikes, man. And when I had our boys when they were younger, you know, we got them bicycles, and I would be like, go. Like, why are y'all just still around the house? Go
explore. Go. You've got freedom. You're on a bike.
And my wife is like, I kind of don't want them to. I'm like, but that's...
It's so weird.
A myth. If you read the numbers, it all started with those milk cartons.
Yeah,
it all started with the milk cartons. And 90% of abductions are from family members, you know, and it's... And again, one is too many. But that's the whole thing. That they have a website I still go to. It's called freerangekids.com. And this woman has been under fire. She let her 9-year-old take the train in New York, like 5 different stops or something, whatever it was. And she got inundated with hate mail because she allowed her 9-year-old to like do what we used to do. My niece used to take the bus in Chicago at 8 years old with the family's laundry because my brother and his wife were like, you know, they didn't function. So at 7 or 8 years old, she had to do the family laundry. And she would take a bus up 2 stops, I think, to the laundromat at that age and do the laundry, you know. And now my brothers, they'd be arrested now if somebody found out their daughter was doing that.
There was... one of the things that started with that free range kids movement was 10 years ago. The cops kept, and I can't remember what city it is. It's somewhere in the middle of the country, though. It wasn't on one of the coasts. And they kept bringing the kids to the door and saying, your kids were playing by themselves. 7 and 10 playing by themselves down
outside.
The street. Yeah, outside.
They weren't in the street, they were on the sidewalk.
But yeah, and the cops kept seeing the kids playing alone and would stop and go, everything okay? And they're like, yeah, we're just playing. Where are your parents? They're in the house. And then we're like, ma'am, your children are playing unattended. Like, oh, my God. That's the thing. I
heard you can't even pack their lunch anymore.
What?
My wife just told me, because we're doing research for the show. So we're trying to figure out what's really changed.
Well,
and she said,
pack a lunch.
You can't pack a lunch for your kid now. And I think it has a lot to do with the
It might depend on the school.
Well, it's a nationwide policy. I think Michelle Obama put that through with all.
Well,
the
we still
food
send
thing.
Lunches to school. But yeah, we you still can't pack our certain kids. Things.
Right?
Really? Like what?
Peanut allergens,
peanut allergies, and all that.
Peanut butter. You swear?
When did peanut
thousands?
Butter allergies begin? And I know, like, some parents going to get mad at me.
That's what I used to say, man. The terrorists, all they got to do is take over a Planters peanut factory and crop dust. The city and they wipe out a third of our population.
Like, seriously, when did that
dust.
Begin?
That, you know what it started? Because there was this peanut scare in the 90s. This is what I read about that. Peanut scare in the 90s. So parents quit giving their infants peanut butter, which was the vaccination for peanut allergies. Because all our kids grew up eating peanut butter. You know, my granddaughters are eating it right now. They're at our house. My Tammy's making a peanut butter and jelly. So that's the vaccination for peanut allergies. Well, parents got scared. They were told, the pediatrician started telling their parents, don't give your kids peanut butter. Don't give it to them. There could be bad reactions to it. Well, anyway, there was a generation of people who grew up without that vaccination because they didn't eat it when they were little. And now a third of those people have a severe reactions.
So it's like the Princess
butter.
Bride Iocane powder thing, you know, where he's like, he built up the immunity.
Yeah, that's what everything is.
You're like my son. His was all Homer Simpson. His entire basis for philosophical basis for life came from Homer Simpson. We were driving to a Titans game, Jacksonville, when they went to the Super Bowl that year, and I had to get tickets from the scalpers. So I told my son, he goes, do you have tickets? I go, I'll get them. They'll be out in front of the stadium. Got to get them from the scalpers. He goes, what's that? I explained to him what a scalper was. He's silent for 5 minutes, and he goes, oh. I remember the episode where Homer Simpson had to buy tickets for Bart and them. That's the one. I go, that's it, man. And that's when I realized all the stuff I tried to pour into my kid, all the wisdom, meant nothing. It was all Homer Simpson. Homer.
Simpsons did it. The Simpsons did it.
Mm-hmm.
Simpsons.
Homer erased your kid.
Matt Groening, by the way, we had him on the show. He is just a genius. Matt Groening, the guy who started The Simpsons.
Really?
He was super cool, too. You know, we had
brilliant
him on.
Brilliant show.
But if you think about it, the writing, I mean, look, Conan O'Brien was a writer, one of the original writers. And
he wrote the monorail episode.
Did he?
He did.
I love the monorail.
That was part of my NBC page tour. I'd be like, here's Stody O'Brien. And he wrote for The Simpsons. And we were talking about it. He wrote the monorail because everybody knows the monorail song.
Everybody remembers that one.
Everybody remembers it.
Oh,
I want to say one
yep.
thing before we wrap up is we were talking about the concept being popular with, even with millennials, the America I grew up in, and all that.
Yeah.
It's because I really feel like people as millennials are hitting their 30s and just really starting to approach 40, because technically I think I'm a millennial.
Right, my son is; he's 35.
Yeah,
you know, it's starting to get to that point where we feel this nostalgia for things we don't have that we never had. There's people who never had. You know,
like freedom.
Freedom. It's true, though. I mean,
I never rode my bike without a helmet.
I think I talk about it all the time, and obviously, we're doing a podcast right now, which is on demand, and you can listen to it anytime you want, and you can pull up your computer out of your pocket and watch anything you want anytime, or listen to any song you want anytime. But I think that the whole culture is missing these shared experiences. Where everybody watched the same TV show and then showed up the next day and talked about it. And everyone listened to the same radio show on their way to work in the morning and then showed up and talked. We had shared experiences as a culture that we don't have anymore. And even having 100 different cable channels didn't change that. But now we all just watch our own thing. We all just listen to our own music. We're all in our own little bubble. And I think it's making people sad. And we can fix that. And you can fix that by watching TV and listening to the radio. Self-serving. No, seriously.
Done.
Game of Thrones, baby.
Game of Thrones. That's why it's so big. People love those
things. It's the water
that
cooler
can,
idea.
Yes.
Yep.
They want to be able to show up and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is, that doesn't mean it's all going to come back. It's going
to
come back on limited scope.
I think as the millennials get older, they're going to miss those things. They're going to miss those things.
But
that
it doesn't
they
matter. The
had.
World has already moved on. The world has shifted.
Those things still exist.
They exist,
our
but they're going to exist
still
even
exists.
Less.
We do it every day.
Dude, here's the thing. Know? They're going to exist even less and less as we go on. Like driving, that won't be a thing in 15 years.
Yeah, I was promised flying cars.
No, I know you were, but we're getting
that
so
fit
close.
In a briefcase. Yeah. They fold right up.
I'm just saying, we're getting close to long-term the driving cars thing.
Does anybody still wear the pocket protractor in their pocket there?
Bubba says 2034, nobody will be driving.
15 years, I didn't say nobody. Most cars, the majority, you can put that down. The majority of cars by 2035 are going to be self-driving
cars. Certainly in cities. I guarantee you, cities like New York will ban driving cars.
Because people are just too dangerous. Think of the children.
I know.
That's always the thing. Anytime you know that something's going to be pushed through, it's when they say, think of the children. Right. Whether it be gun control, whether it be the helmets on their heads, whatever it may be, the cops bringing the kids back to their house. Think of the children.
Did anyone in this room wear a helmet to ride their bike?
Never.
That's when I stopped riding my bike.
If I showed up at the age of 12 with a helmet, I would have needed to keep my head from caving in while my friends were pelting me with rocks.
Yo, look at Darko, he's got a helmet.
What's with the plastic hat?
I used to do a line with you.
My brother, my son was so skinny, I said he fell through a sewer grate, but thank God he was wearing his bike helmet. He didn't fall all the way through. So they do save lives.
Yeah, we're never going to go back to that. It's past, it's gone.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, it's like with the LPs, the albums, they're better quality. You don't get that.
No, they're not.
You don't get that, man.
They're not better quality.
Yeah, they are.
What do you say? Wait.
Records are better quality than digital?
Well, the ones they're making now are, if you get the right turntable.
Oh, yeah, like 180 gram vinyl and stuff?
I think, honestly, the records aren't better quality. I think the difference is the production is different. And now everything is mastered, so compressed and so just smashed. Everybody's trying to be louder than the next song. And everything, if you look at a WAV file, any nerd, you'll see. You look at a WAV file now of any audio that's been produced in the last 5 years, and it's flat.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You look at anything prior to that. Let's say 10, 15 years ago, you had ups and downs.
Dynamic.
And it was very dynamic, and it was entertaining to the ears. And that's, I think, where those records, they lull you into a uncompressed kind of feeling.
Oh, okay.
I think compression is.
I was just thinking, I don't know why my brain goes. I was thinking about the televisions that when we grew up, my wife was talking about that because my son was complaining about having four remotes and trying to condense them into one. And I said, we had four remotes. It was my brother Kirk, my sister Lori, me, and my father would. I'd hold a mirror up while my father tried to get the snow out of CBS. CBS in Chicago never came in.
What about climbing up the tower in the backyard to turn the antenna for dad?
Yeah.
Now, some of the people in the neighborhood had the good ones where you could turn it from the bottom.
Right.
Yeah. We had to go and turn it up top.
Right. I used to say my father would put tinfoil on my ears and make me hold the thing. Better reception.
I remember my parents had the big TV in the living room, which was about half the size as the one on that wall.
It was a 19-incher?
Yeah, it was 23-inch TV. And we sat 20 feet away from it. And now,
because you were told it would give you cancer.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that TV's too small.
You couldn't watch it in the dark either.
No.
It was going to screw up your eyes.
Screw up your eyes. Yeah.
We've definitely gotten spoiled to that. And you know.
No, you're right, man. All that.
I have one question for you guys. Where's your Messiah now?
Where's your Messiah now? Jeff, thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man.
You can follow Jeff on social media. It's Jeff Allen Comedy.
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah.
And you can find out all of his tour dates and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I noticed that you had a thing saying that, you know, if I'm not coming to your town, let me know where you are and we'll try to work something out.
Yeah.
I think that's really smart. Go where the fans want you.
That's it. Reach out. We just found out I got a big following in India.
What?
Not kidding. I think I just got booked for a corporate gig in Orlando from an Indian company.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's this internet is, and I also found out one of the largest followings I have, top 10 in the country. My Facebook guy's telling me this is in Kenya, which I'm ready to do a Find Obama's Birth Certificate tour in Kenya.
that'll go over real well, I think.
Well, anyway, New York City. So I'm thinking maybe there's a large Kenyan population in New York City.
Could be. How many views
We're up over 40-some million with about three different videos or four.
What?
That's insane.
Yeah, it is. When it hits, it goes exponentially. It's the strangest thing.
Yeah, the bigger it gets, the bigger it gets.
It's exactly. You know,
Kind of like me.
The reason you're here is because a couple, two different friends of mine, independent of each other, sent me the video
of
you doing that routine, and he goes, you should check this guy out. And I was like, I keep seeing this video.
Yeah, I'm going to Sedona on Tuesday. I just picked this up to do a talk on a rock on a trail for 10 people from a company.
What? What?
They're flying me out there and paying
Sit on a rock?
I'm going to stand on a rock and talk about my story about alcoholism, drug addiction, and stuff like that.
Which we didn't even talk about here on the podcast.
Well, this wasn't what this is about. It was about your Messiah, you know.
And, well, you're going to be standing on a rock. Anyway, it's going to be kind of like the Sermon on the Mount.
It's I forget the name of the company, but it's the CEO got turned on to me through somebody else from Facebook and said, boy, this would be perfect for the event we're doing for our company leaders. And basically, it's about focusing on what's more valuable and so other values in life.
What is it that caused? And I do want to before we let you go, I do want to bring that up. What is it that it was an alcohol addiction, right?
Yeah, I went to Alcoholics Anonymous at 31. I was married.
What was it that was your turning point? What was it that sobered you up?
Honestly, truthfully, I beat my kid in the crib. And it was my wife sat on the end of the bed that night and fed our son. He was crying and he wouldn't shut up. I was drunk and coked up. And anyway, I started spanking him and realized at that point I could have killed my son. And I told her that night, I said, take me to Alcoholics Anonymous. If you don't, I won't go. And I don't think we're going to make it.
Wow.
I have a buddy who kind of did something similar. He was hooked on heroin for years. And same thing. He got his brother hooked. His brother OD'd, died.
Oh, wow.
And that's what got him sober. He said, you know what? I killed my brother. And I'll never live that down. But I need to get sober for me, for my kids. And it's...
Well, that's it. You know,
I always find that fascinating.
And it just kind of set me on a completely different path in life. Completely different. Just starting with they told me to pray. I said, to what? And that was... My journey was just trying to find out, does God exist? If he does, what's his nature? And I went through 8 years of just absolute, everything I could exhaust until I finally met somebody who put the Bible in my hands. And it was funny, too. The book of Ecclesiastes was the first sermon I ever heard. You know, it starts out meaningless, meaningless. It's all meaningless. And that was kind of what I had figured out. And it was funny, when I read about nihilism, I was like in my 40s. I was reading philosophy and stuff, you know, because it interests me. And I read about nihilism, and I go, oh, my God, that was my entire decade of my 30s. What's this? What matter? What's the point? I don't get it. My wife, you know, used to just try to shake me into caring. And we were losing the house. We were 3 or 4 months behind on our mortgage. And she goes, I get the impression you don't care. I go, I don't. She goes, who says that? I go, babe, you think I wake up in the morning and don't want to care? I don't know why I don't care. And that was the journey. That was the whole point. I wanted to – why does anything matter to me? Why does it matter? You know, and she goes, why don't we matter? I go, you matter, but you could get T-boned at a red light tomorrow and be gone. So do I kill myself after that? Do I get a sitcom deal? Is it money? I used to look at the gerbil. This was a funny story. Tammy, after about 3 days of me just sitting in my kid's room, just staring at the gerbil running back and forth, you know, on and off, you know. She goes, what's with you and the gerbil? I go, look at it. It gets sticks on one side of the crate and brings them over to the other side of the cage. And then every now and then it spins a wheel for entertainment. She goes, so what? I go, that's our life. Mm-hmm. I make a few bucks. I buy a few things. It wears out. I take it to the landfill. You know, I said, if I'm lucky, I get a movie deal, a sitcom deal. I make a lot of money, get nice stuff, but it all wears out and we take it to the landfill. And every now and then we go to Disney World. That's our wheel. Or we go to Vegas. That's our wheel as adults. And I told her, I said, I can't stop projecting 10, 15, 20 years down the line. Is this it? Is this it? It's just stuff.
God, that's so good.
You know, and she goes, you know, and I said, if that's it, I'm checking out. And she goes, you checked out years ago. You know, you haven't been here for years. And she was right. She was absolutely right. And the turning point with all of that was I found out she was having an affair. And she was in California. We were living in Arizona. And she was supposed to come home that night. If she'd come home that night, we probably wouldn't be married. But she took a day. She couldn't come home. She was too embarrassed. And I had one night alone with myself. And every time I tried to get angry with her, every time, that little voice inside of her, that conscience would go, you remember the time? I stood on a stool once and yelled at her in the kitchen until she fell to her knees and wept. And my son that night says, Daddy, you win. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you cry, you yell, mommy cries, you win. Mm-hmm. Not one of my prouder moments, you know. And those type things would come up. Remember the time you smashed every dish in the kitchen? Remember the time you did this? Remember the time? So every time I got self-righteous, how dare her, how dare her, how dare her, that little voice would go, yeah, well, here. She got pushed. She got pushed. People can only take so much. So she got home the next day. I picked her up at the airport. I was exhausted, just exhausted. I picked her up at baggage claim. I gave her a kiss. I said, we're a mess, but I think we can get through this if we want to. I said, we got two kids at home that need us. We need to grow up. We need to grow up fast. And it was probably another year and a half of just more soul searching. So the talk I'm doing in Arizona is going to be called An Examined Life. That's my favorite quote. And that was the night that I really started taking stock of the kind of husband I was and the kind of
man. Yeah, because I see you now and you seem a very, very happy guy with the grandkids and the whole thing. And
yeah.
Do you even know that guy you used to be?
No, but I'm constantly, those are the talks that I do are a constant reminder of that. I don't ever want to forget that guy. But Tammy and I will meet people. You know, we met you like 20-some years ago. Oh, we're sorry. Right. We were not the kind of couple you'd have over for a friendly game of scruples. You know, we would argue publicly and loudly until we quit. You know, I used to tell people, if you're in a marriage city that's full of acrimony, wait till you get to apathy. There's nothing more painful in a human relationship than not caring about anything. I mean, really.
I'm glad we waited to the end for this.
Yeah. No, I am too, but I'm glad we talked about it.
I know. It's a bummer. My manager says to me, stop it.
I'm telling you, there's somebody right now listening to the podcast, maybe watching live on Facebook, who needed to hear something like that because you don't know where people are.
Yeah, somebody's and there.
That's the thing. You don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows.
No.
And you're right. You know, we do things out of spite sometimes. And, you know, like you were talking about her affair or whatever it was. She had just checked out.
That's it. You know what her answer was to that? She said, I just wanted someone to talk to me.
Yeah. I was going to say, you got people at work who are checking out of their work relationships. You have people who are dealing with whatever. Mentally, they're just done. They're toast. And we're seeing a lot of that in society in general because I think we've gotten away from caring about each other. And I think it's very important for you to tell that story.
Well, it's easier to crawl into the distractions. And that's
it's right in your hand.
It
that
is.
Phone. Put the phone down.
Yeah.
Get off Facebook. You're
sitting We have a rule in our house when we get together as a family, when all the kids and the grandkids, you put your cell phones in a basket. You know, we can spend 2 hours like the old days. Staring at the stucco.
My daughter the other day asked us. She said, "Hey, can we just put our phones?" My daughter said this, and I thought it was the coolest thing. Can we just put our phones away for a while and just hang out and talk? And she's like, "And turn the TV off too."
I'm
like,
"Wow,
yeah."
See,
it was fantastic.
You got to rely on the kids to be the adults.
Yeah,
you
know? It was great, though. Yeah.
Well, dude, that was awesome. It's so good to see you. Thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for having me, man. We can't. Obviously, I can't do anything without you guys. I mean, it's we got to get the word out.
But, tell as many people as you can that. you know, Big Name Bubba can't do anything without those guys. Jeff Allen, Jeff Allen Comedy. You can find him on all the social medias and whatnot. You got to come back and get you back on the show anytime, man.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Lebanon in September here in town at the Capitol Theater.
Okay.
So we'll come back for that.
Please do.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
The podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Damn the rules.
Oh, yeah. This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio. Every day, it was the podcast.